You can go ahead and take your Bible and open to Deuteronomy chapter 31. This begins a fourth and final section of the book of Deuteronomy. I'll give you the outline one more time here in just a moment. But before I do, I want to share with you a story that I heard. It was a man who was telling the story of an incident that he had in his life that I found very interesting, and I think you would find interesting as well. The story goes something similar to this. A man was saved, and he began to work for a very wealthy man who owned a lot of properties. He owned some golf courses. And so as he began to work for this man, the man invited him to join his golf team or golf club. There was a team, and he said, "I want you to go with me golfing." He said, "I heard you was a good golfer," and he said, "I want you to go." This is a true story, by the way. It's not a joke or anything. It's a true story. He said, "I'd like for you to go with me." And so he went with him. And he said that about the third or fourth hole, the Lord was really dealing with him about witnessing to this gentleman. And so he said, when they had a break on that tee, he said they were waiting for some others to play on. And he said that he witnessed to him about the Lord. And he said the man, real soon into his witness, just held his hand up and said, whoa, he said, don't talk to me about the Bible. He said, "I don't hear anything about the Bible." And he said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." And he said, "Is there a particular reason why?" And he said, "Well, yeah." He said, "I'm an atheist." And he said, "Oh, okay." He said, "You're an atheist." And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, at what point in reading the Bible did you determine that you didn't think there was a God?" And he said, "Well, I didn't read the Bible." And he said, "Wait a minute, you say you're an atheist, but you haven't read God's word, and you've just made up your own mind that there is no God without doing any kind of research." And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Oh," he said, "well, you're confused. You're not an atheist. You're a moron." And, I mean, he was serious, dead serious. And he said the guy just looked at him and said, "What do you mean I'm a moron?" He said, "Well, you know, if you were an atheist, you would have done the research to come to the conclusion that there is no God, but you've done zero research." He said a moron is someone who doesn't think things through or study things through. They just kind of develop their own opinion about something, their own thought about something, and they just stick with it. And he said, "It sounds like to me that's what you're doing. So really, by definition, you're a moron and not an atheist." And he said the guy was, as you can imagine, very upset that you know, he was called a moron. I believe I'd rather be called a moron than an atheist, being on this side of it, but either way, he wasn't happy. And so he said, "I just knew I was going to lose my job and my golf membership, my golf privileges." He said, "But we played on through," and he said, "there's very little conversation." He said, "When we got through and we went into the clubhouse, the guy brought it up again." And he said, "You know," he said, I can't believe you called me a moron." And he said, "Well, Mr. whatever the guy's name was," he said, "look, I'm just telling you, an atheist is a person that has done their research and they've come to a conclusion after research that there is no God." I mean, that's the way it is about everything, about things that you believe. You do your research and then you make a decision. "I don't believe, based on the research that I've done, this is what I believe." And he said, "You've done zero research. You've just pulled something out of thin air and said, I'm going to stand on that." And he said, "That's what morons do." Well, I'll end the story. It wasn't but just 2 weeks later that the man came back and told him that he had done his research and that he had trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Can I tell you that a lot of people, a lot of self-proclaiming atheists, if they would just do their research, they would not be atheists. Amen. Yeah. And so what's that have to do with the message tonight? Nothing. I'm just glad that God is real. I'm thankful that I know that God is God and there's none beside him. There is none other. There's none other. And we ought not make it so easy on people. And I'm not saying go to work tomorrow and call half a dozen people morons. You know, I'm not saying that. So don't leave here and say, "Well, I'm going to go to work tomorrow and tell some folks, I can't wait to get to work tomorrow. I'm going to tell some folks they're morons." Well, if you do it, don't do it based on "I told you so." But I will say this, don't make it so easy on people. You know, make people define their position. Make people answer some questions about some things. Know your Bible so that you can get into some good, hearty discussion with people about spiritual things. One of the greatest ways that I know of that I've used to get in discussions with people is I ask people, are you interested in spiritual things? You'd be amazed at how many people say yes. Now, they don't know that you're really talking about God, the Bible, the spirit of man. Most people think of spiritual things as, psychics, palm readers. But when you begin to ask people, are you interested in spiritual things, you'll get a yes. And then you can begin to talk with them about our spirit and how that man is born dead in spirit and how that he can be quickened by the Holy Spirit. You can open up a door of witness if you will do that. All right, let's stand to our feet. Deuteronomy chapter 31. All right, let's do just a little bit, give you time to stand on your feet just a little bit. If you're not physically able to do that and you need to be seated, I certainly understand that. In Deuteronomy 31, we now come to the final chapters of the final section of Deuteronomy. The first three chapters, we talked about history, and we look back at history. Chapters 4 through chapter number 12, we talked about holiness, and we didn't look back, we looked in, right? Chapter 13 through chapter 30, we talked about heritage, and we look forward to them taking the land and possessing the land. These final chapters, chapter 31 through chapter 34, is going to deal with hope, and it's kind of an upward look. Moses is getting ready to pass off the scene, and there's some really very good teaching in chapters 31 through 34, and I'm going to just mention a couple of things here that I think every church, and we are certainly positioning ourselves to do it, I just believe it's very important. God told Moses some things, and I want you to notice with me in chapter number 31, let's begin our reading in verse number 14. Now I'll go back into the first verse, but I want to begin reading in verse number 14, and I want you to follow as I read down through verse number 18, okay? And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought in that they turned unto other gods. Now, God has given Moses a little bit of a foresight into the future, saying, Moses, I'm going to call you on home. And after you come home and the children of Israel pass over into other land, some of them's going to revert back to their old ways, the ways of their fathers. And he said it's going to cost them very dearly. Can I tell you, brethren, regardless whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're of Israel or of the church, when you revert back to your old ways, when I revert back to my old ways, there's a price to pay. It's not good. It's just not good. And here, God is telling Moses, I'm going to bring you on to heaven. In many ways, Moses, you might think that's a bad thing, but I'm going to spare you of some things in bringing you to heaven. And he said, I just want you to know that some of these people are going to go back. And Moses had given some things, and possibly he didn't know why, and God's maybe revealing to him why. What can you do to prevent a people from going backwards? We hear a lot about this word today, apostasy. Apostasy. What can you do to keep a person, a household, a church, an institution? What can you do to keep a person from apostatizing? Well, I'm going to talk with you about a few things I think is very, very important to stay on track. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for the hope that is given in your Word. Even in these scriptures that we will view tonight, I pray, oh God, that you would help me be a blessing to your people. Help us to take solemnly the warning that is given here. It would behoove us to walk in the ways of the Lord. It's for our good. It's for our protection. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us to walk in the statutes and in the commandments of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. So I went through in chapter 31, chapter 32, and I began to read through and see exactly what's happening here. And I see where the Bible says, and we'll just go back in chapter 31 in verse number 1, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. He had spoke some words unto them. If you want to get back into chapter 30, the last verse there says, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them. And God said, it would behoove you to follow me and to walk in my precepts, to walk in my commandments, to live your life in accordance to the word of God. And Moses rehearsed these words unto the people of the children of Israel. Verse number 2, he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. And Moses knows that he's getting ready to pass off the scene. God has told him, and we'll see this later in the chapter. God had told Moses, Moses, I'm getting ready to call you out. You're not going into the promised land. I'll let you see the land, but you're not going into the land. I've chosen a man that's going to succeed you. And that man is Joshua. And he said, I've chosen him, and he's going to lead the people there. And he said, but there's some things that I want you to do. It's kind of your final marching orders before you come on to glory. And these are some things I believe. Listen, I believe every church ought to do this. I just think every institution of God ought to do this. You ought to train up successors. You ought to train up people that can replace you. Amen. In Sunday school, in missions, in bus work, in pastoral work, in music. We ought to be training the next generation. And here is what Moses said to the children of Israel. Let's look at a few things that Moses did for Joshua. I look at Moses' life. I think it's interesting that in verse number 2 it says, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. Notice what he said. I can no more go out and come in. Now, we know that Moses was really physically, Moses was not in a bad shape. His vision, the Bible speaks about his vision being unabated and that physically he was okay. But God had told Moses, listen, this is as far as I'm going to allow you to lead this people. It's good when a man realizes when God says, okay, that's it, right? It's good. It's good. It's hard, but it's good for a man to know that. And Moses realized that. As I look at Moses' life, I think it's separated very cleanly into three simple divisions. The first 40 years, luxury, right? I mean, he was in the palace of Egypt. He was very learned. He was educated there. He lived really a life of luxury. And then at the age of 40, we find that the scripture says that he left and he went out into the desert and he lived there until 80. And so he went from luxury to labor, right? I mean, he was tending the sheep. You know those stories. Pastor BJ preached on this last Sunday, and or Sunday before last, and It's really good not to waste those years, not to think, well, God can't use me, you know, in this situation. You'd be amazed how God can use you if you'll just allow him to do so. God can use you in the valley just as well, if not better so, than on the mountaintop. Somebody say amen with me. God can do that, brethren. And then at age 80, he went back, and he went from luxury to labor. Now he's going to go to leadership. And I think that defines the final 40 years of Moses' life. He was a great leader, and he led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and he led them through the Red Sea. As God led him, he led the children of Israel. And he led them right up to the brink of the Promised Land on this side of Jordan. And now God said, Moses, it's time for you to come on home. And he said, but I want you to speak unto the man that's going to succeed you, and I think we can learn some things from this. Now, somebody's going to leave here tonight and say, well, Pastor Dale's getting ready to step aside. I'll step aside when God tells me to, but I'm not ready to step aside. I've got a few good years left in me, I think, you know. But I don't want to outstay my stay, but I don't want to leave before God tells me. I just want to do God's will. But whether I leave next year or 10 years from now, I think that it's good for every ministry here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and really any church, to follow some of this teaching here. What did Moses do with Joshua? Let's look at it. I want to give you a couple of words here. I want to talk about servants. Servants, all right? We have a lot of good servants at Fellowship Baptist Church. A lot of good servants. Some servants are leading in their servitude, and you need to be teaching in your servitude. Sometimes when we're leading in our servitude, we forget that we are to be teaching those so that when we get ready to turn and hand the mantle, there'll be somebody there to take it. Amen. Teach someone. Amen. Teach somebody to take the mantle when you pass on. Notice what the scripture says that Moses did here. The first thing that Moses did is he said, Joshua, in verse number 7 of chapter 31, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all of Israel. He said in verse number 7, he called and he said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, that thou shalt cause them to inherit it. You need to be a leader, Joshua. You go with the people. You don't send the people, right? You go with the people. You lead these people. You lead them. As I have led them, you lead them. Brethren, every church needs a leader. Say amen. Say, I don't need a leader. That's because you're full of pride and rebellion, and you don't realize that God will place leaders in your life. We all need leaders. The church needs a leader. And here, and really, I know that this is not the church. Listen, I understand that, but there's a great lesson here. And this is taught in the New Testament. Jesus trained leaders after that he would ascend to heaven to carry on his work. Listen, workers move off the scene, but the work moves on. Amen. God's workers move off the scene, brethren, but God's work carries on. God's work should not cease when the worker ceases. If that's the case, we've done a very poor job, a very poor job. And so these people, they had some victory to claim. They had some ground to gain. And yet their leader was passing on, but there's a man that had been preparing, and Moses said, hey, it's time. It's time. And he said, Joshua, he said unto him in verse number 7, he said, be strong and of a good courage. Don't back down, right? Don't change. That's right. Stand firm. That's what he's saying, brethren. Be strong. Stand firm. Don't back up. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Stand firm in those perilous times. Don't change with the times. Stick with God. Stick with the Word. You'll find when you read the rest of this chapter, that's exactly what Moses did. He wrote some things down and he rehearsed it unto the children of Israel. And he said, now listen, he said, I want you to learn to do these things. God's going to hold these things as witness against you that you follow the teachings of his word. Brethren, can I tell you, and you know this, but it's just so important that we continue to bring this up. A church that is built on Bible preaching will march forward. You cannot build a church on recreation. I'm not opposed to recreation. The church is not built around a gymnasium. The church is built around a sacred dais called a pulpit. Amen. The church is not built upon activity. I'm not opposed to activity. But activity is not the way a church is built. A church is built on Bible preaching. Bible preaching. Studying the Scripture. What saith the Scripture? What does God say? And so Moses said, now, Joshua, when you step up, you be strong. Don't you cave in now. There's going to be some people say, well, now that the old man's gone, Moses, we need to come on with some new stuff for the young people. Now, you stand true. You stand true to what God has given. God's word is good for the old and the young. There's no such thing as a teenage Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen with me right there. The Holy Ghost that lives in me lives in our teenagers that are saved. The Holy Ghost that lives in us lives in the children that are saved. And so don't you, listen, I understand you break it down on a different level, and the Bible's going to talk about that here in just a moment. But we're talking about training up the next generation, teaching people what's important. Activities are good. Classroom outings are good. Recreation is good. But nothing should ever replace the teaching of the Word of God in the Sunday school classroom and the preaching of the Word of God from the pulpit in the church. That church will move forward. When we began to show movies, it'll never happen as long as I'm the pastor. And I believe we have enough of good, godly folks right here that will not allow this to happen. A church service is not showing a movie. We need some preaching. Amen. A church service is not just 12 selections of songs. No, we need some preaching. I love good testimonies. We had some good testimonies Sunday night. Amen. I love good testimony services. Need some preaching. Got some good preaching after the good testimonies. Amen. That's right. And so we don't ever, ever want to get to the place where we think, well, you know what? We'll change this because times are changing. Well, listen, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And so that's what Moses is telling Joshua. He said here, he said, Joshua, look at verse number 6. He said, you be strong, Joshua, and of good courage. Don't you be afraid of them. Look at it now in verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Be not afraid of them. There'll be some people come and say, now wait, we want to change now. We got a new guy on the scene and we want to change. The old guy, he'd been at it so long, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Well, we got a new guy. Want to change it. Now, I'm not saying anyone here would do that, but you know what? Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in this predicament. And then the world begins to change outside the church and we say, well, you know, it's working out in the world, maybe it'll work in the church. The church and the world are to be so opposite that you can tell the difference. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. And so that's what really is being taught here. Be firm. Joshua, don't forget some things you've learned. Don't forget how you've seen God move and what you've heard God say. Don't forget that. He challenged them. He charged them. Let's just read down through this a little bit. Verse number 6, he said, be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. God will be with us, brethren. Let's do it God's way. We've seen that over and over and over again, haven't we? When you do it God's way, God will be with you. When you do it God's way, God will be with you. I like this. I like what God did here. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2. Moses said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. He said, I'm not going with you. Now, no doubt, this really discouraged the hearts of the children of Israel. I mean, they had a love-hate relationship with Moses, but they wanted Moses to be their leader. And they just knew, I mean, here was a man that they had been able to depend on. Here was a man they knew that walked with God. And they really realized the importance of Moses. And when Moses said, "Hey, I'm not going with you," they probably thought, "Well, wait a minute. You know, if you don't go, then what?" I like what he did. Look at verse 3. Immediately, before discouragement had time to set in their heart, he said, "The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee." Amen. See, whether it's Moses or Joshua, as long as God is with them, everything's going to work out. Amen. Amen. That's right. Listen, people have different ways of going about right ministry. And as long as God is in it, not every two men is going to do things the same. As long as God is in it, and it's God's way, and it's in the God's word. And so when Moses said, "I'm not going," no doubt their heart sunk, and they thought, "Now, wait a minute. We've counted it, and we've depended on you for all these years, and we want you to go." Now, God said, "I'm not going. I've taken you as far as God's going to let me take you," he said. He said, "But don't you worry, God's going." And that's what matters, brethren. Amen? Amen. What great encouragement this was to the children of Israel. Well, he said down in verse number 8, he said, "The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee." What great encouragement. We ought to teach the next generation, listen, God will be with you. God will be with you. Listen, some of you young couples and some of you younger folks in the congregation tonight, you ought to avail yourself to the teaching and the training of some of the older and the aged so that they can teach and train so that you can prepare yourself to be handed the mantle in some ministry of your local church. You ought to claim ownership of this local church. You ought to say, "That's my church down there." Right? That's not Pastor Dale's church. That's not this family's church or that family's church. That's my church too. Claim ownership of it. Get involved. Say, "Well, what can I do?" Well, you know, you can do something. Everybody can do something. Everyone can do something for the Lord. And I pray that you would get involved in doing that. And that's what I learned from this as I read this. I learned that God is telling this man, listen, God is saying, "I'm going to be with you." As a matter of fact, if you'll turn just for a moment, just a couple of pages over in Joshua chapter 1, God did eventually, Moses told Joshua, "God's going to be with you." And it's good when a person, a human being, tells you God will be with you. But can I tell you, when God tells you that, it means a little something more. Amen, doesn't it? I mean, when a preacher or a teacher or a friend or parent, when a brother or sister in Christ tells us something in the Lord, it means something. But when God himself tells us, notice if you would, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." What encouragement this had to be to Joshua, this young new leader. Listen, as I was with your leader, I'm going to be with you. Right? Young folks, listen to me. God will be with you like he's been with us. God's no respecter of persons. Follow his word. Avail yourself to the ministry. Be willing to serve God with your life. He said here in verse number 4, "From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast." Watch this now. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." What encouragement that had to be. What encouragement that had to be. Joshua, "I'm going to fight your battles." Young folks, listen to me. Quit fighting your battles. Let God fight your battles. You say, "Preacher, I'm up against it in the schoolhouse. I'm up against it in the neighborhood, in the crowd that I run in. I'm up against it." Let God fight your battles. God will fight your battles. God will take care of you. God hears and answers the prayers of his people, brethren. See, God said, as I was with Moses, look at it now, in verse number 5, he said, all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, right in the middle of verse 5 there of Joshua 1, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Can I tell you that God's never failed me? God's never failed me. I can't stand up here and say that I've never failed God, but I can say with authority, God's never failed me. God's never failed me. God will never fail you. And that's the message we need to be getting to this generation that's following us. God is faithful, brethren. God is faithful. God's not going to let you down. The world will let you down. Men will let you down. But God's not going to let you down. Never has. So well, I would serve God. I would trust God. I would put my life in God's hands. If there needs to be no if. And so we see here, as we go back now, and I pray you would read this sometime. It's kind of a rehearsal or a restating, I should say, of what is in chapter 31 here. So he said, listen, he said, there ought to be somebody to take the mantle. And I've been praying about our Sunday school classes. I've been praying about just every facet of the church ministry here. I just want, when one man goes down, it's next man up. Now, listen, I don't mean when one man goes down in a derogatory way. I just mean we never know. You know, we've got some folks in our church that are getting older, and it's beginning right up here, all right? It just is. And we need to be training some people to step up. And we are. We are. We're doing that. But can I ask you that are younger in the church, could I ask you to just prayerfully consider, would God use me? Sure, God will use you. Let us impart some things to you. Let us get you involved in grooming and developing and getting involved in ministry. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to go to the mission field. Doesn't mean you won't either. I don't know what God has for your life. But serve God with your life. Any local church that does not prepare and major ministries of the church for someone to take over for the person who's heading that ministry up is going to face some failure and some tough times unnecessarily. And so God has really spoken to my heart. We've done our due diligence in this, but there's more that we can do. And we want to just raise up people and train people and have leaders throughout our congregation, people that are ready to step in and serve God. Won't be long now. Listen, 10 years, should Jesus not come? Now, he's coming. But if he doesn't come in the next 10 years, where will we be, aged saints of God? Where will we be? Will we even be here in 10 years? We don't even know what a day will bring forth, let alone 10 years. Who's going to fill my shoes? Who's going to fill your shoes? You say, well, it doesn't matter, preacher. It matters a lot to God. It ought to matter to us. This community needs this church. Your family and your family members need this church. And God planted this church, so he wants this church here. And he wants it to move forward and to flourish and not to, listen, to just phase out when a few prominent leaders pass off the scene. I said it, I'm going to say it again before we move to our final point, and I'll be done tonight. And that is, listen, though workers step aside, the work of God steps forward. The work of God goes on, brethren. The work of God goes on, and we need to do our part in seeing that our young couples, our young people are being trained. Young people, you do your part by availing yourself and applying yourself to the training that you could fill in when your number is called. All right? Very important. I'm going to be teaching on that in weeks to come. All right, let me give you something here. So basically what he's saying here is he's saying, number one, he said, you ought to train and to teach your leaders, all right? Notice what he said here that are coming up. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. Moses wrote this law and delivered it into the priests. I'm in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, verse 9. He delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years in the solemnity of the year of release in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel was come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. He said, I want the word of God read. I want the word of God read. I want the law of the Lord read. The reading of the word of God is very important. The preaching, the teaching of the word of God is very important. It would probably shock some of us, though I think most people are pretty much up to date on what's going on in our world around us. Brethren, I saw something just a few days ago that it didn't shock me. It made me angry, and it just, I don't know, kind of made me sick to my stomach. I can say this, there's no young children, had a woman in a church, in a children's church setting, like a vacation Bible school setting, and she was scantily clad, pole dancing in church to Christian rock music. Listen, the things that are going on in the name of Christianity, in the name of church, is sickening. It would probably I don't even have words to express some of the things that are going on in the name of church today. Church, rather. Folks come together and to worship and to hear the word of God read, as we hear read right here. You say, well, preacher, they were dancing and playing in the days of Moses. Yeah, around a golden calf, and it angered God. He was going to kill them all. Right? This thing, you know, they got this, these churches saying they have some kind of drama dancing now, a dance team at a church. In church. What in the world's going on? It's just, again, I don't even have words. I can't even find words to express myself here. You say, oh, preacher, we'd never have to worry about that. Well, I just want to tell you now, what used to be Independent Baptist is not Independent Baptist anymore. I just want you to know. Those that used to preach the Bible are not preaching the Bible anymore. All right? And so we've got to stay straight here. We've got to keep our antennas out. Got to keep our guard up. Amen. Oh, and a preacher, we ought not get so concerned. You need to stay concerned. Stay concerned. Keep your guard up. Know what's going on. And so Moses told the children of Israel here, he said, we're going to get Joshua. Here's a man that's proven. We're going to get a man that is like-minded. And that's what we're looking for when we look to this next generation. We're not just looking for somebody who says they're a Christian and attends church occasionally. We're looking for like-minded people. Amen. People that we can and pour into and that we can work with and that will stay true to the Word of God. And he said, now I want you to get the Word. I want you to read the Word. Look in verse number 12. He said, gather the people together. I like this. Men and women and children. That's right. Children need to hear preaching. You say, what are they hearing now? Let me just go ahead and assure you, we have a few guests here. Most of you know what's going on. Our children are not coloring somewhere. They're getting the Bible preached to them. Amen. That's not gym time. This preaching time. Amen. He said, look at verse number 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear. And that they may what? Learn. You teach people the Word of God. Is that what he said? You teach them the Word. People need to be taught the Word of God, brethren. We're living in a day where there's a famine in the hearing of the Word of God. We've got churches that are meeting now. The Bible's not even opened. And so Moses said, I want you to stay straight. He said, the children are going to, of Israel, he said, they're going to go a-whoring. They're going to prostitute themselves out to other gods. And he said, this right here is what's going to keep people from doing that. If you want people to stay true to God, teach and preach them the Word of God. Amen. Yes. This is where it's at right here. The preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And so he said, Verse number 12, that they may learn, look at it, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Look at verse 13. And that their children, don't miss this now, and that their children which have not known anything. Well, the little children can't learn. Don't you tell me they can't learn. They'll learn what you teach them. We've dumbed things down so much, we have no expectations for our children anymore. We got folks running around glad. Well, I'm just glad my child don't drink. That's all you got? You need to be teaching them something about the Word of God, amen. Teaching them something about holiness and walking with the Lord and a prayer life. We have just gotten so loose and dumbed down the standard to where we just think that it's wrong to be a little hard on a child. Well, preacher, don't you think that's a little hard? I'd rather be hard on them now than go visit them in a penitentiary somewhere later. Somebody say amen with me. We just gotten to the place where we think that children shouldn't be hard on. Listen, children should be hard on. I'm not talking about abuse here. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about making your children work. Amen. Make them work. Give them some chores to do. Teach them, yes, sir, no, ma'am, thank you, may I, please, may I be excused. Hey, a child comes to my home and goes and opens up the refrigerator, they get the wrath of Dale. You say, that's crazy. Well, you call it what you want to call it. I was trained, children don't belong in the kitchen. You say, you're old-fashioned, proud of it. Yeah, that's crazy, preacher. Yeah, I'll tell you what's crazy. This world we live in. That's what's crazy. We need to be training our children some good old-fashioned principles and values. And when you teach them character from the Word of God, it sticks, brethren. It sticks. I realize people are different. And you may allow your children to run through the house and eat anytime they want, anything they want. I don't think that's a good idea, but I can't run your home. I can just tell you, be careful. I think you're setting a bad precedent. And when one of your children looks at you and says, nah, and you let that go, you're setting a bad precedent. One of my children ever look at me and say, nah, come here. I think I heard something right. What did you say? No, sir. Don't get that confused again. This is your final warning. Amen. That's hard, preacher. Yeah, they're in church serving God, though. I'm not bragging now. It's all by the grace of God, but I just want you to know something. This thing of letting kids slip and not being hard on them and putting more emphasis on a home run and a three-point basket than yes, sir, no, sir, manners, reading the Word of God, daily devotions, prayer, perfect attendance in Sunday school, memorizing Scripture, it's killed our churches. It's killed our churches. And it's just, this is what's being, the essence of what's being taught here. Teach your people some things. Look at what it says here in verse number 13 one more time. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn, I mean, verse 13, to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whithersoever you go over Jordan to possess it. Well, my time's up. I wish we could have got on down there where he got to talking about the character of God, teaching your children that God is great. Read chapter 32. We'll pick up there next week, the Lord willing. Teach your children God's great. Your children ought to think there's nothing God cannot do. Your children, by the way, children have to be taught not to think that way. Right? So if they hear you and they hear me doubting God, they begin to doubt God. Little children have strong faith, brethren. Little children believe God can do anything. Get your children to pray and learn from them. That's right. Little children pray things that angels will fear to discuss. Little children. They have great faith. So I pray that we would learn some things here. Let's recap as we stand to our feet. Number one, people are turning aside. And God told Moses, he said, listen, these people are going to turn aside, Moses. I'm calling you home. He said, I just want you to know the people are going to turn aside. He said, I'm calling you home. And he said, I want you to get with Joshua, and I want you to charge Joshua on some things. He said, because I want him to take the mantle. Brethren, one day God's going to call me on. One day God's going to call some of these good leaders in the church to have a little age on them. God's going to call you on now. He's going to call us on. Fellowship Baptist Church needs to move on forward. Still holding high the bloodstained banner of Christ and the blessed hope. Amen. The preaching of the Word of God. It's very important that folks carry that on. It's very important that the next generation carry it on. And such, Paul told Timothy, commit to other men. Teach these same things to others that they may carry it forward too. Paul did it with Timothy and Titus, did he not? So he said, teach it. Then he said what? He said, not only should you train those leaders, you should teach your family and teach your children to stay true to the Word of God. Teach the women and the men and the children, the family unit. When I got saved in 1980, people talked about family altar like it was something that was commonplace in people's home today. When you mention family altar around the average Christian couple today, they look at you with like a deer in the headlights. Like, what? What's a family altar? How many of you are 55 and above? Raise your hand. If you're 55 and above, now keep your hand up. Want to see everybody's hand. Okay, a lot of folks in here. I know some of the ladies are about like this. I get it, okay? All right, you can put your hand down. How many of you remember family altar? You know what I'm talking about when I say family altar. Okay, very, very many. Most of the people who raised their hand. Listen, now some of you may not have got saved till later, but when we were growing up, people had family devotions. They called their family together around the Word of God. They had prayer and they read the Scripture together daily. Don't do that anymore. Most folks don't even attend church regularly. And we think that the next generation has a good outlook for Christ, and we're in trouble. We've got to teach this next generation values, how to walk with God, how to pray, how to carry out the work of the church, brethren. It's important. It's very important. And this is what God was teaching here. He said, I'm getting ready to call you man now, but now you better be ready. Because I've still got work for you to do on the other side. I'm calling my worker, but the work goes on. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray, God, you would help us now. We need your help. We are so thankful that you never leave us nor forsake us. We're so thankful that you have promised us you will go with us and that you will be there. You will fight our battles. You will teach us. You will navigate us through the storms of life. We just thank you so much for your goodness. I pray, God, that we would follow your lead in this area and we would raise up a generation here at Fellowship Baptist Church, the next generation that we could pour into what you have given us here at the church. Help us to pour ourselves and your word into this next generation that they could stand strong, and when their time comes, that they would stand in the gap and they would carry out the work of the ministry. We love you, Lord, and we pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.